Grace to you, grace and peace, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. What a privilege that it has been the last few days to share with you thoughts, and I believe some thoughts that some have not let run through their head before or in a while, perhaps in regards to Paul's statements of Romans 5 about the wrath of God and peace with God. We've given you perhaps a new way to look at some of those things. I do not place my thoughts out there as the end-all thought, but they are where I am. And since this is my podcast, I'm going to talk about where I am in my journey. And I am open. I'm not argumentative. I don't feed off of a lot of other people. So I'm not developing doctrine based upon what Brother So-and-so says. And one of the things I've noticed is a lot of people's counter to arguments made about theology center around what Brother So-and-so says. People will say to you, so-and-so says this. And I always think, well, then you're arguing from the basis that you agree with so-and-so more than you agree with me, but that doesn't make it right. No more than I would want someone to argue with someone else because they say Paul White says. That's not a revelation. That's just what Paul White says. But all I have is what Paul White says based upon what Paul White thinks he hears when he reads the scripture. So that's why we have different colors to our teachings, different styles. Because all we're really doing is giving you what we see through the lens that we see it. And our lens, granted, is influenced by our culture, our past, our present, our hopes, our expectations, our experience. They have to be colored that way. It's the only thing we know. What we're trying to do is determine where Christ fits in that. So this is why I always say to you that a revelation of Jesus is necessary, because a revelation of Jesus will color how you see the scripture, and it'll color how it comes out of your mouth. So for me, a connection that was made in me several years ago was between Romans 5:1 and Romans 5:9, where Paul in Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then in 5:9, he says, much more than having now been justified by his blood. And I do not see that as two different justifications, but I see it as two different revelations of justification. That we are justified by our faith, but what is our faith in? Well, it's in his blood. But as we grow in our revelation of justification, we don't grow past faith. But we grow into a deeper understanding of what our faith is in. So that even if our faith is faulty, we realize, because our revelation has matured, that our standing with God is not faulty. So while we are justified by faith when we come to Christ, it is the blood of Jesus that maintains our justification. I think that's why in verse 9 he says, much more than now being justified by blood. Much more than just being justified by our faith, we're justified by his blood. And our faith will waver, but his blood never wavers. And to me, a great illustration of this is the children of Israel in the land of Egypt putting the blood of the animal on the doorposts. And when they apply the blood, they're doing so as a response to a command. God said to them to do exactly that. And then to stay in the house, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So by killing the lamb and then putting its blood on the doorpost, they were being obedient to the mandate. They were placing faith in the mandate. God said, if you do, then I will do. So for everyone who did, and there's not a single reference in the book of Exodus that an Israelite challenged it. Every Israelite followed the command. Every one of them displayed faith in the command by putting the blood on the doorposts. And then they all went in the house. There's also not a single instance in the book of Exodus in which someone did not go in their house or left their house and was killed by the angel of death. There was examples of Egyptians who were, because they didn't heed that command. In fact, it wasn't even given to them. That's a whole other theological story about the difference in how God dealt with his people, Israel, and how he dealt with the rest of the world, and how now he deals with all hearts. So once you put the blood on the doorpost, you go in the house. The blood stays on the doorpost. You go in the house. Please catch this. You placed faith in the mandate by putting the blood on the doorpost, but you don't keep standing at the doorpost putting blood on the doorpost. You put the blood on the doorpost, then you go in the house. That's part of the mandate. Once you get in the house, God doesn't say, keep believing. God doesn't say, maintain strong faith. God doesn't say, you have to be praising me or praying to me. Just go in the house. Finish eating the lamb. Feast on it. Consume it. Leave nothing. So I've asked this question all over the world. If there was a house on one side of the street and a house on the other side of the street, and the first house put the blood on the doorpost and went in the house, and the second house put the blood on the doorpost and went in the house, and the first house, when they got in the house, threw a party, and everyone ate the lamb, and they were excited, and they were confident, and they said, the blood works. But on the other side of the street, in the other house, with blood on the doorpost, mind you, they close the door and say, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is going to work. And they cower under tables and hide in closets, panicking with fear and sweat and trepidation, doubting that the blood will work. Which house will the angel of death strike when he passes by? I asked this question one time at a meeting, and the crowd said, the second house, almost en masse, the whole crowd. And I thought, man, what has happened to us in our lack of confidence in the blood? The correct answer, according to the book of Exodus, is the angel is going to pass over both of them. Just because the first house is confident and the second house is not confident doesn't do anything to the blood. And I see that in Romans 5:1 and Romans 5:9. Our justification has come by faith, and that gives us peace. What happens if our peace is shaken? What happens if we're rocked in that? Much more now being justified by His blood. We're saved from wrath. It's the blood that causes the vengeful angel of death to pass over the house. It was the faith that caused the blood to go on the door, but it's the blood that causes the angel to pass by. So our faith meets the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is what does the work. He's the one who finished the work. He's the one of whom the object of our faith revolves around. It's not a matter of I was justified by faith, but now that I'm not justified by that, I'm justified by His blood. It's Paul's way of saying you were always justified by the blood. It was your faith that brought you into that justification. And it's that blood that still works. It's that blood that's applicable in your life. So if you have roller coaster faith, if you have moments of doubt, if you have issues in your life and you go, I don't know if I'm still saved. I don't know if I'm still in His favor. I've had this thought and I've had this. Relax. Much more now, you're justified by His blood. The blood, there's an old Southern gospel song, the blood is still there. Well, that's appropriate because the blood is still there. What an awesome thought. I've tried for several days to get into reconciliation. Tomorrow we will, as we get into the 10th verse of Romans 5. I'll see you there. I hope you have a fantastic day. Grace to you. God bless.